You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob, here with you on Community Radio Station 3CR, and this is a Friday Rave.
Well, it's Friday again. It actually is Friday today, Friday afternoon, and I'm running late. And I'm in an undisclosed location, as always, in New South Wales, but at least in cyberspace. I'm sitting in the studios of Community Radio, Radical Radio, 3CR. My name's Jacob, and this is a Friday Rave. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke about some of the issues surrounding AUKUS, a year on from the announcement, and I ended up by saying I'd follow up with some of the other AUKUS issues, like manufacturing, space and cyberspace. But last week I thought it important to speak with one of the organisers of the Disrupt Land Forces protests that are taking place in Brisbane right now. And more on that in a bit. But anyway, back to AUKUS. Everyone knows about the submarines and the troop deployments and hosting US weapon systems. These are the big ticket items and the most visible manifestations of AUKUS. But there's a lot more. The original AUKUS announcement last year spoke of upgrading technology transfers, which was obviously going to be needed for the sub deal, but there's even more to it than that, and increased cybersecurity cooperation and space capabilities. Now, a lot has happened in each of these areas over the last year, and while little of it can be officially related back to AUKUS, what we're seeing is exactly the kind of closer cooperation that was outlined. Since the announcement, Australia has launched no fewer than 3 satellites for NASA for the new Arnhem Land space base. The first launch happened in June. Now, Prime Minister Albanese was up there for the launch, and he told the collected press the launch was, and I quote, here it is, collect data on the physics of the sun and its relationship to Earth. Now, that's different to what Russell Shaw of Equatorial Launch Australia, the company undertaking the launches for NASA, that's different to what he said. He told us that they were about looking at the planets and suns beyond our solar system and the interstellar rays. Now, NASA's release on the launches agrees closer to ELA's description. Equatorial Launch Australia's description. Now, the only reason I even raise what Albanese said about them is that it seems he had no friggin' idea what the launches are about, something about the sun. But, as Albanese knew, they were US government launches and therefore good. You know, the way he and Penny Wong have been toadying to the United States since AUKUS and since they've come into government, since they've come into government, it's absolutely dismal. It's worse than John Howard, for Christ's sake. Just meeting them and calling them a force for good in the Indo-Pacific and just backing them up every step of the way in international forum. But anyway, I digress. You know, I'm not trying to be alarmist and say that these launches were specific military launches. The truth is, they were probably about getting more data on the stars, Alpha Centauri A and B. They're two of the pointers you see at the Southern Cross. And that's what NASA said it was about. But really, regardless of what they were about, they signify a huge advancement in the cooperation of space research between Australia and the US. And space research is largely military. The military relies on space communications technologies. That's just the way it is. Whether we're talking about direct military communications or using weather or geospatial data to execute wars, or even using the Five Eyes systems to intercept communications or activate missile or drone strikes, space technologies are now an integral part of war. Which is why, of course, they're one of AUKUS's key areas of concern, as outlined in their original statement. Now, geographically, Australia is very important to the US militarisation of space. Always has been, at least since, you know, the commencement of first Narunga, which is closed now, and then Pine Gap. And when I say Narunga's closed now, its capabilities have been superseded and now taken on by Pine Gap and other echelon bases around the country. Pine Gap, of course, is still open for business and working harder than ever. Expansion works are going on there as we speak, and we can't find out anything about them other than they're, quote-unquote, a facelift. Now, also, a sister base, just north of Alice Springs, it was originally a test site for the Jindalee Over the Horizon Network, has in the last 12 months seemingly been reopened and expanded. Again, we know not why or what is going on there, but, well, hell, by all the security around the place and the trucks and people moving in and out, it seems important. Then we have other space technology research, like electro-optic systems, yep, them of the remote weapon systems sales to the UAE and the Saudis. A subsidiary of theirs, SpaceLink, are working with DARPA, and that's the Defence Advanced Research Projects Agency. You might have heard of DARPA in the past. Anyway, SpaceLink, EOS, are working with them to build a constellation of satellites to improve communication times between spacecraft and ground users through optical inter-satellite links. Okay, this is an important part. This is going to speed up information transfers, and it's probably what, now that I'm saying it, it's probably what the Pine Gap expansion is about anyway, different kinds of receivers. But whatever it is, this is most definitely about war. Not only because it's DARPA, but because a bloke named David Nemeth, the senior vice president of SpaceLink, said, DARPA's space BACN program is well aligned with our mission to provide continuous, high-capacity, real-time links to deliver data from space to the warfighter. Anything else you hear about it, it's about war. When we're talking about communications in space, it's not so you can look at pictures of furry animals on social media. It's not even so you can do your electronic banking or buy stuff from eBay or any others. It's about fighting war and all the other quote-unquote benefits you get from that are, you know, by the by. They're spin-offs. Anyway, meanwhile over in Adelaide, the Commonwealth has signed a contract with a mob called Ascension, who are wholly veteran-owned. Okay, now they boast that they're veteran-owned. But these are veterans who have been at decision-making positions within the Australian Armed Forces, who, part of the revolving door, have set up their own company and are now profiting through the networks and experience that they gained while working for defence. Ascension, by the way, the name Ascension, without the C, is just a rebranding. They were called the Defence Electronic Warfare Corporation. Tell me that's not about war. This contract's about $4.5 million. And, last month, defence industry Minister Pat Conroy was over there talking about what they say. The government's partnership with innovative small business will be critical to growing a robust, resilient, and innovative industrial base for space tech in Australia, Minister Conroy said. Now, under this contract, they'll develop sovereign space-based tactical sensor systems. And the minister went on to say that This will enhance the Australian Defence Force's capability in the space domain through greater situational awareness and visibility. Okay. They're marketing and making their technology available after first receiving a Defence Innovation Grant in 2020. Can you believe that this is the way it works? Veterans who are trained up, who are put in positions of responsibility in the military, who make all their networks, who have the inside goss on what the military needs in the coming years, leave with huge superannuation and huge end-of-contract bonuses and what the rest of it, set up their own company, get a research grant, and then when they got something that's saleable out of their research grant, they sell it back to the Australian government. It's absolutely ridiculous. But this is not about revolving doors. This is not about the wasteful money spent on defence. This is about space. So we'll leave it to that. We'll leave it to final words of Minister Conroy, who said the government is focused on nurturing Australian defence innovation while supporting veteran-owned business who bring expertise and experience to solve defence's tactical and strategic challenges. Anyway, of course, there's Lockheed Martin. Has just been awarded a $1.2 billion gig to upgrade Australia and New Zealand's GPS system, geopositioning satellite system, which is, of course, crucial to the military. Particularly, it will bring us up to the standard required to communicate geospatial data, or that's launch data, mind you, to communicate that with US-based weapons platforms, and that is Lockheed Martin weapons platforms. Lockheed Martin is getting paid $1.2 billion so that our GPS is good enough to use its weapon systems in cahoots with the United States. The mind boggles. And, of course, earlier this year, the Australian government set up the Defence Space Command. As Defence Minister at the time, Peter Dutton, put it, while space is primarily a civil domain, it will undoubtedly become a domain which takes on greater military significance in the 21st century. Well, you know, we're just about a quarter of the way through the 21st century. We're 22 years into it anyway. It has taken on greater military significance. It's been going on for some time. Peter Dutton went on, he said, Defence Space Command is Australia's contribution towards a larger collective effort among like-minded countries, read AUKUS, to ensure a safe, stable and secure space domain. By developing our sovereign space capabilities, we'll not only become more self-reliant, but also a better ally and partner through the combined efforts of our capabilities. Now, I reckon I'll do a special on the new Space Command in coming weeks. But I said Australia is important geographically to space and has been. And that's why when they first set up Pine Gap and Narunga and all the rest of it, possibly it could be argued one of the reasons Australia was even in the Five Eyes to start with was our geographic position. You see, just think of the Earth as a spinning ball, and you've got satellites going around it, monitoring communications, which is what was happening when these bases were first set up. You need at least three ground stations on the Earth to monitor satellites going around the Earth. Now, the first ground station location was obviously going to be in the United States. The second one is in England, Western Europe. The third one, for it to be complete, has to be somewhere equidistant between Western Europe and the United States on the far side of the world, and preferably in the Southern Hemisphere. Without Australia, without Pine Gap, the United States could not have ground stations to monitor all satellite activity around the planet. That's pretty fundamental mathematics. I'm not talking politics or ideology here. Pretty fundamental geometry is that Australia is needed by the United States and England in the space race.
Black Spark is an independent, volunteer-run bookshop, gallery, music and community space in Northcote, Narm, dedicated to creativity, learning and liberation.
Black Spark is a space for the entire community, free of charge, hosting art, music and literary events.
To keep Black Spark free, open and accessible to everybody, we need your help.
We are calling for your support for our rent fundraiser to keep our doors open into the coming years.
With your support, we can continue to host book and exhibition launches, art auctions, fundraisers, music gigs, and facilitate opportunities and growth for emerging artists and grassroots communities.
For more information, visit Keep Black Spark Alight on chuffed.com or check out Black Spark on all the socials.
Keep Black Spark Alight!
A 3CR supporter.
So this is in the middle of the pandemic where this billionaire is suing the Pentagon for a military contract for what most people think is the place that you order books from. It's a very interesting case study in pulling out the different threads of militarism and how it can really be embedded in so many aspects of our lives that we don't even realize that when we order something from Amazon that we're putting workers' lives at risk and that we're supporting what is becoming an increasingly important actor in the military-industrial complex. Exposing that to people, I think, is very important. People will care if they understand that this is how things are all interconnected and linked. It's surfacing that information, it's making that accessible, and making it relevant for people's lives. And I think that is another opportunity that COVID-19 really presents to us, is that we are all connected and these structures are all connected. We can see that much more clearly now than we could before.
We need to keep radical voices on air. Subscribe now.
Go to 3cr.org.au/subscribe or call the station on 9419 8377.
You're listening to Community Radio, Radical Radio, 3CR, excuse me, 855 on your AM dial, through all the W's at 3cr.org.au, through 3CR Digital, or however you're listening. It's a Friday rave, and it's about 18 minutes past the hour of 5 o'clock. I'm running a bit late today, but I've just, so it might be a somewhat truncated show, but I've just been made aware of latest developments over in the occupied territories in Palestine and Israel, where it looks like things have the potential to flare up big time in the very near future. Now, this has just come in, so I'm just going to read from the news broadcasts, but short time ago, the Israeli Defense Force Spokespersons Unit, which is their media unit, their PR unit, released a video clip of what they call a situation assessment that was conducted, yesterday by the IDF Chief of Staff Aviv Kochavi, with ranking officers, during a visit to the Central Command headquarters. Kochavi is seen telling his officers he's ready to invest all it takes to halt the wave of terrorism in the West Bank. Now, that presupposes there is a wave of terrorism, but there isn't. At least none that's been, not really, that's been reported on. The only terrorism taking place, of course, in the West Bank is the ongoing occupation. He said that if necessary, and this is Aviv Kochavi, he'll send in both additional regular and reserve battalions. And training in the ground force units will be reduced, whatever the price. Now, he specifically said he's going to reduce the training, increase their deployments and reduce their training. Now, the IDF has put a lot of time and energy into attacking the West Bank in recent years. But the release of this clip is part of what the media is calling an increasingly popular practice that first began in the political arena and caught on in the army, where news reporters are ushered into a room to record top-ranking people who deliver short speeches for the benefit of the media. This is coming. This is all from their PR unit, as I said. They've got lower-ranking people working as a backdrop, what in Australian politics we call noddies. And it's the whole reason of it is for the viewers at home. It's fairly straightforward. But even when things look like shit, a steady hand is at the helm. Public can rely on us. This is the same as military leaders have been doing for a while, but it's increasingly, as they say, common. Now, in addition to the clip, the TV reporters were briefed. Chief of Staff has given the officers of the Central Command a green light, this is quoted, a green light to carry out targeted assassinations in the West Bank. In case of operational need, Kachavi is for the first time allowing the use of drones to kill wanted Palestinians by long-range fire. Now, I'd argue that it wasn't for the first time, but nonetheless, he's publicly saying in a whole media setup, specifically for you Israeli viewers at home, and of course the Arab viewers to scare the shit out of them, that they're going to do whatever it takes to further entrench Israel's military hold on the illegal occupation of the West Bank. That's about all I can say about it. It's it looks like it's going to heat up on the West Bank in the coming days. So keep your ears tuned.
From the 1st to the 7th of October in Mianjin, Brisbane, the Disrupt Land Forces Festival of Resistance will be held to disrupt and interrupt the efforts of the military-industrial complex who generate conflict as a byproduct of profit. Disrupt Land Forces is a decentralised, intersectional, direct action campaign taking place over 7 days through creative and collaborative action in resistance to Land Forces, the largest land-based weapons expo in the Southern Hemisphere. You can hear more about those profiteering of death and destruction and the history of anti-military activism in so-called Australia on 3CR Community Radio in the coming weeks. Head to Mianjin on the 1st to the 7th of October for the Disrupt Land Forces Festival of Resistance 2022. For more information, visit disruptlandforces.org and we'll see you on the streets.
What exactly is the purpose of all this, however? And here I want to draw your attention to a TV show, a comedy called Utopia. In this show, there is a satirical point about defense policy saying, well, we are defending our trade from China, but China is a major trading partner. And so how can we be protecting our trade with China from China? The whole thing is absurd. Well, that clip has been widely circulated and perhaps even funny, but it's utterly misinformed. Australian strategic planners already know that it's absurd to protect trade with China from China. That's not what they're trying to do. In the real world, what they are trying to do is insist that military and intelligence activities can be conducted in another country's exclusive economic zone. Exclusive economic zones were established in the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea in 1982. The United States is the only maritime power not to recognize, not to ratify the Law of the Sea Convention, but it does act in accordance with it anyway. It refers to the exclusive economic zones refer to waters that extend 200 nautical miles from a country's shore. The United States says that it has the right to conduct military and intelligence collection activities within any country's exclusive economic zone and can do so as close as 12 nautical miles from the coast. And it also accepts the right of other countries to do this inside its own exclusive economic zone. During the Cold War, the United States did not interfere with Soviet ships, bombers, or surveillance aircraft that came in close to its airspace. China says that it respects freedom of navigation, but it doesn't respect the right of foreign governments to conduct military and intelligence collecting activities. So this is the key question. Does a country have the right to conduct military activities in another country's exclusive economic zone?
Talking in terms of power, where the power is, who's shaping the condition of our lives, who determines the quality of the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink, the kind of jobs we can have, the images we have to deal with and such. If I can sing this song without you, maybe all is well. If we can sing this song without you, we don't need your world.
This is my letter to the 1%.
If I can sing this.
Power to those who read bell hooks, power to those who sell books, power to those who know how the inside of a cell looks, all those feeling helpless, forgotten or discarded, power to the strange fruit you thought was rotten in the garden, power to those sitting alone, seeking solace in the calmness, power to those feeling stained, know your tomorrow isn't tarnished, power to those who sweep the streets with more knowledge than PhDs, power to those who keep their keys, return is promised, please believe, power to those that suffer in silence, those it hurts to hear, power to those that hold their ground, power to those that persevere, power to those that love humanity, more than they love style, power to immigrants, probably raising Donald Trump's child, power to the blind, who can't imagine what sight is, those staring at the moon and all those working night shifts, power to the readers, the writers, the illiterate, power to those that struggle to decolonize their syllabus, power to the shy ones who struggle to make friends on the half of humanity, worth less than 8 men, power to those that risk their life to dig the coating from the ground, for the mic I'm spitting on, and the phone you're holding now, power to those that built the stadium they're playing in, power to those that mold the grass and stitch the ball that they're playing with, power to every rapper that doesn't rap about killing, power to the builders who build buildings that outlive them. Power to the slaves of ancient Greece that never had the right to vote, democracy dead like Gary Webb when they imported like his coke, power to those that write to prison, power to those writing home, power to those writing poems, power to those that died alone, power to Curtis Mayfield, power to Ronald Isley, power to the fishermen that were forced into piracy, power to every person that is working in a library, power to every nurse that we turn to in our times of need, power to the unions and the miners that you punish, power to those that drive the buses and those that collect the rubbish, power to the youth desiring the truth, power to every rapper that is dying for a fire in the booth, for those that lost limbs to King Leopold's quota, and those risking their lives for the P&O to Dover, power to union leaders murdered by power to victims of this globalized Cosa Nostra, power to those dying on the shores and the borders, power to human beings that were rendered fauna and flora, power to those that cleaned up after the stage show and carnival goers, still haunted by Kelso Cole Crane's ghost, power to Kevin Carter, his picture taunts on several rafters, so many questions never answered, never answered, never answered. Remember the last words of Abdul Muhsin al-Sa'dun al-Umma tantadhar al-khidma al-Ingliz la yuwafiqun power to al-Jawahari and his rebellions. They killed his brother Ja'far and he cursed the rotten Temsians. Enlightened despots pursuing tactics Machiavellian. Chinese steel preceded Europe a millennium. Think about it, printed press half a millennium. Never get close, power to Ken Loach and every volunteer in Lesbos. Cuban doctor sent to Sri Lanka for the tsunami. Power to those that cleaned up after the Bullingdon parties.
If I can sing this song without you, maybe all is well. If we can sing this song without you, we don't need your world.
Kids knowing Apple products before they know what an apple is. Forgotten like passengers on the USS Indianapolis. Dying days before they could see what little boys damage did on the precipice of fascism. Our passiveness is cancerous. Power to those strong enough to dream. Power to those that chose not to be a cog in the machine. Power to those that love first and hate never. Power to those that sleep on the streets through grey weather. Power to Aziz Ali, Bone Thugs and Harmony. Power to Norman Baker, David Kelly's own artery. Power to the genocided population of Tasmania. The internet descends to Trump-tastic fantasia. Let them try, quote this. You'll never find a better diagnosis than collective psychosis. It's getting quite hopeless, but hope is all we have. Trying to cultivate the positive, not focus on the bad. But the globe's under attack. The obnoxious rage of a fake intellectual. Amazing grace in the age of the spectacle. Not the first time they found a racist selectable to raise to the pedestal and desecrate the place that translated the decimal. I don't want to tempt fate. Power to corpse washers like Salvador Allende. Power to language learners, Bernie Sanders fans, the flag burners. One man's inertia is another man's purpose. In the utopia of song, we are victorious. But the bittersweet reality's not this glorious. Power to Coltrane watching Malcolm X. Power to pull ropes and under house arrest. Power to Galileo under house arrest. Power to Ibn Haytham under house arrest. Forgive me if I sound obsessed. This is my letter to the 1%. The redistribution of power. The redistribution of power. We want the redistribution of power. We want the redistribution of power. We want the redistribution of power. The redistribution of power until your power is ours. Until your power is ours.
Sheffield, Loki, and many others. We pushed really hard, and luckily, last month I managed to get a visa for 5 years. And that's all I'm doing. Thank you very much. I really wanted the only reason I'm here, not only to support migrants and asylum seekers, but also to say thank you to Loki for tweeting my case Without his support and your support, I wouldn't be able to be here. I wouldn't be able to.
And that was Low Key with a message to the 1%. Sorry for the truncated show this week. My name's Jacob. There's been a Friday rave, and I'll talk to you more next week.